when those blue snowflakes start falling, that's when those blue memories start calling.
What would Christmas be without Elvis Presley? That is Elvis, of course, doing Blue Christmas. While this is not our holiday show, we are talking a bit about holiday issues, and we're talking about being politically correct, and we're talking about social media, and we are talking with Pastor Drew Sams for our continuation of Teen Rap. But first, let me welcome you back to the Bruce Salen Show, a dad's point of view. You can email me at bruce@brucesalen.com. That's Bruce and Salen, S-A-L-L-A-N.com. That's S like in Sams. You can tweet me at Bruce Salen. And for those of you that would like to sponsor our shows, do connect with me, and those spots are still available. We have Pastor Drew back with us, who is the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church. He is an expectant father, so very happily, welcome back, Pastor Drew.
Good to be back.
We were talking about Thanksgiving and some of your reflections that were so interesting. Is there anything more on that topic you'd like to continue with, or would you like to go elsewhere?
Well, I think, Thanksgiving always just spills over into the Christmas season, and you reminded me of your 12 best list online. And
the 12 most beloved Christmas songs on 12most.com, which I hope you'll share with your congregation, because I think it's great. And you, this is the irony, I love it. You reminded me of the greatest Hanukkah song contemporary that I totally forgot about, which is Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song.
Oh, I love it, love it.
Now, he's written like part two and part three.
Has he really?
Yeah, they're not near as good as part one, but he comes up with all these other famous Jews that he reminds us of, or part Jews or half Jews or quarter Jews. It's really funny. If you haven't found that song, you can find the link on the 12most.com website on the column, the 12 Most Beloved Christmas Songs. I just added it while Pastor Drew had reminded me on the break of that song. I can't believe I forgot it. So anyway, you were saying Christmas season, Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we spill over into it. And even last night, my wife and I were with a group of friends, and we were going around the circle sharing what are some traditions that you do as a family. And they were saying that how easy it is to just kind of get wrapped up in the busyness of the Christmas season and the presents and getting the new gadget, whatever it is. And they were saying that it's really easy to kind of forget what it's all about and to overlook even just spending time with family. And they were saying how important family traditions are in helping them be reminded of what they're thankful for. And I just love how, with you and your family, every Friday you've got this tradition. For traditions for you, what do you think it is about regular, consistent activities that that help people remember?
I think those are the benchmarks, the milestones of our lives. And the importance of those traditions to your children, especially at their impressionable young ages, are, I think, invaluable. I know my boys occasionally resent the Friday night ritual, and they have friends over. Do we really have to do the blessings? Do we really have to go around the table and everybody share the best and worst things that happened to them that week, with only one worst being allowed? There's times where they don't want to do it, but then there's other times that I know they really look forward to that, to share something that's on their mind that they're upset about or that they're really proud about. And I would bet any amount of money in the world, if my boys have families, they will do the same thing.
Oh, they will. They definitely will.
There's no doubt in my mind. And those traditions are things that you pass on to your kids that are invaluable beyond book learning. So I think it's incredible, and I know you're going to be bringing unbelievable traditions to your son, and it'll be a joy to participate in those. You'll come over to our house with your son, and we'll do the Shabbat ritual, and we'll hopefully come over some Christmas and do Christmas with you.
Oh, that'd be so great! And obviously, there's work that you've got to put in to keep the ritual or the tradition going. I think the default is to, pop on the TV or just fall into the busyness of life. But I assume that you'd say that it's worth the extra effort.
No, it's beyond worth the extra effort. And you will reap so much reward yourself. This is not just about being a good parent. This is about being a good human being. The work you put in. Look, that song, Cats in the Cradle, makes everybody cry for a very good reason. It brings up those feelings that many of us have about our parents not really having been there for us and our promise that we were going to be there for them. And then how many times we make that same excuse, well, I don't have time right now, son. I don't have time right now, honey, referring to your spouse. In the end, nobody on their deathbed says they wish they'd worked more. The regrets people have at the end of their lives all relate to not being connected with people they love.
Yeah. Boy, that reminds me, I had a friend recently say, he said, you know, Drew, I've been telling a lot of people lately, I just don't have time to do X, Y, Z. And he says, you know, I realized I've got the same amount of time that everybody else has. I'm just not making the time. I'm not choosing to spend the time with my kids, with my loved ones. And he says, I'm going to make the choice. And kind of an odd thing. He said, I'm going to make the choice not to use the phrase, I don't have time. Because I do.
Of course you do. It's your choice of how you fill that time.
Exactly.
Last night, my wife was in bed. And unfortunately, and I gave in on something I probably shouldn't have, we have a television in our bedroom. And I was coming to bed at the early part of the evening, an hour or two before we were going to go to bed, with the desire to read. And she was watching a TV series that she has the DVDs of, and she's been having a rough week, and she just wanted to veg. And I asked her how long she was going to watch, and she said we wanted to finish this one and watch another episode, so that meant at least an hour. And I thought, well, she's not feeling well, I'm going to stay here with her. And within a few minutes, I got a little sucked into what she was watching. And I thought to myself, I am just wasting time. Now, in that particular case, I don't think I was wasting time because I was spending time with my wife. I was holding her hand, and I was being there when I know she's been in a, you know, not a great place lately. But to me, television, especially for our kids, is an outrageous waste of time. And a little bit, of course, or you're going to, you know, make them want it even more. But the notion that any child is actually watching the number of hours that supposedly is the national average, to me, is a crime. It's almost like child abuse. If a kid is watching 25, 30, 35 hours of television a week, what could they be doing with that time?
You know, on that topic, there was a book I just read, maybe you've heard of it, called Cognitive Surplus. And basically they said that with the amount of time that we spend in one weekend watching television, we could take all that time and build all of the pages and all of the words and all of the information on what's currently up on Wikipedia.com.
I believe it.
And what a huge project that is. We could do that in one weekend. And this author goes on to say, Clay Shirky is his name, he goes on to say, imagine what we could do with this unused, untapped cognitive surplus that gets wasted on television.
It's so true. It really goes back to one of those corny sayings that moderation is kind of the key to everything. A little bit of television, of course, is fine. Same thing with going to the movies. And in fact, when I used to work in the television business and people would talk about television being a vast wasteland and all the derogatory things that often are said about TV, I would say, you give me any TV guide and I will show you something worthwhile that is on television every single day of the week. That doesn't mean 87 hours a day. Just means there's always something good to watch, but
Yeah. It's
again in moderation. Pastor Drew, please tell, believe it or not, we are out of time for the last segment, last segment together. Tell our listeners where they can find you.
Yes, I am blogging at wewillsinganewsong.com.
That is good, and I am really very happy to hear that Bruce David Sams is doing so very well. I can't wait to see him when he enters this world in April of 2012.
Can't wait.
And thank you for being on two segments of the show with me today.
I enjoyed it.
It was marvelous. And,
double blessed. I'm thankful to you for it.
Thank you, indeed, and I'll talk to you next week. It is time for another break. You can tweet me at Bruce Allen. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. And you can follow the A Dad's Point of View Facebook page. And you can stay tuned for our closing remarks coming after these messages.
Right. You got to spread joy up to the maximum. Bring gloom down to the minimum.
Way down.
Or else pandemonium liable to walk upon the scene.
That's in the room.
To illustrate
my last remark,
Jonah in the whale, no.